Welcome to CFO Talk. I'm your host, Steve Rosewald, Chief Learning Officer at CFO.University. Joining us today from Salem, Oregon, is Nili Asades. Nili is a global leader in research trends in business, particularly in FP&A and in treasury. She is the Managing Director of Research and Insights at Nili Group. She received her communication degree from Marymount Manhattan College and earned her master's in journalism from the Columbia University's Graduate School of Journalism. Welcome, Nili. It is great to have you on CFO Talk.
Thanks, Steve. Always great speaking with you. I'm excited to talk to you today.
Well, we've had some great conversations over the years. You've been at the FIDEX, and I think we're pretty comfortable together, but you do some wonderful research. And some of the research you've done recently is on managing change, which, where is there more change occurring than in the CFO suite? So it really caught my attention when you published your research on it. I want to dig into that some more and how it applies to the CFO, but also understanding why you did this, how you define change and things like that. So maybe we'll just jump right in with, how do you define change management?
Change management, from a definitional standpoint, there are a lot of definitions, very thorough, very academic, or consultantese written definitions. I want to stay away from those a little bit because I'm sure they're all out there. What I wanted to do is talk about the important part of it in the sense that it's really bottom line. It's about people. With so many companies embarking on transformations, whether it's organizational in the office of the CFO, often combined with a technology upgrade and transformation, it's critical that we look at how people are brought along from the point A to point B, from current state to future state, and helping them along their transformation with various tools and programs. And so change management is that people component of enabling the transformation. And without people on board, without talent developed, without people buying into the change, and really, it's kind of hard to make changes. We all know that for most of us. Changing the way we work into a new way of working is not an easy process. And so supporting people through that change is what change management is all about.
Well, that kind of starts touching on my second question, which had to do with what drove you to do this. But maybe give us a little bit of background on why this was important to do right now, the research.
The importance is really twofold. We had a lot of conversation. We're still having a lot of conversations across the Nili Group community and platform. And as you mentioned, FP&A and treasury are kind of the main areas, although we also touch on some others like internal audit. And even in internal audit, the issue of transformation is a constant topic of conversation. Just came back from a meeting last week of our tech group of treasurers, went through their priorities. Large percentage said we're working on a transformational change. And so the first reason was that we just, I guess from an anecdotal standpoint, saw that a lot of our members are in the process of a transformational change of some sort. The other reason was research we've done previously at the start of the year and end of last year, where we asked our FP&A and treasurer leaders or the highest level executives, what is on your agenda for 2023? And digital transformation or finance transformation was one of the top issues that they were engaging in. So the combination of the numbers and the anecdotal evidence and just the acceleration of transformation, given post-COVID, it's been going on for a while, but COVID gave it a real boost, caused us to look at, okay, what are the components? And change management being one of the most critical, we wanted to dig further into that.
Makes a tremendous sense. And we're kind of seeing the same thing at CFO.University. It's kind of a little bit of an overused word, transformation, but I think it captures the essence of what people are trying to do. It's a step function shift in our performance. I mean, that's transformation. Tell us a little bit about how you conducted the survey, who was involved, and why the data is so rich.
The way we conduct a survey is quite different from some of the other survey arm or arms of other institutions or survey companies. We don't send out a blast of email to a 10,000 folks list because the responses you get often are not qualified, and it's very hard to then validate the data. What we do is we take advantage of the relationships we have with our members, and we have over 1,000 individual members, and 270, almost 300 companies that are involved. We take advantage of that relationship and really carefully curate who we send the survey to, from a functional standpoint, from an industry standpoint. And so the responses we get are all highly qualified. And to make that even more important, we run 2 or 3 focus groups with small groups of treasurers or heads of FP&A post-survey to get through the data and dig and find what the story is. Do a reality check on the data, validate it, see what we can develop in terms of a narrative that we can share back with our members. And so that's how the research is done. And then after a few conversations like that, we do a debriefing with our broader audience, get more feedback, and then produce the final report.
Well, that's what your background is. So you get all that A and B testing and doing all the validation. It's available to the public, right?
It is. It's on our research page, and I'll be happy to send you the link.
Make sure we get that on there because it's really a well-done survey, and it's really helpful, I think, for people, and so many CFOs are interested in this topic, which brings us to the CFO side. So thanks for the background on the survey. CFOs and management in general are seeing this really importance in being able to manage change, and change management and transformation is super important right now. Yet, in general, they don't feel like they're doing it very well or prepared to do it. So tell us a bit about that gap and what the research found in that gap between, you know, people understanding it's important, but not really being set up to manage it well.
That's a really astute observation and an area of concern for us and an area we're advocating for with our members. 100% of the survey responded said, oh, change management is absolutely critical for the success of transformation. Yet only 22% of them, so under a quarter, said, oh, we do this super well. We're very highly effective in how we perform on our change management area. That's a big gap. And so we dug into what's behind that. And there are a couple of reasons. I mean, the first one is that while our respondents definitely think that change management is critical, they have yet to have mature enough programs that adopt a lot of the best practices. So some of the practices where they're low in adoption would enable a more successful program. And interestingly, one area where we asked questions was about KPIs and performance measurement of the change management process or program itself. Only 43% said they have formal KPIs. And that's a problem because, and maybe a reason why it was so hard to answer the question, because if you don't have formal KPIs or metrics, then how do you know? You don't know whether you're successful or not. If you don't have milestones and measures of success. Now, it's a difficult area to measure, granted, but still, it's super important for CFOs and their staff to come up with some metrics to look at how people are changing behavior. Are they using the technology that's being introduced? How close do you get to that future state in order to say whether you're effective or not? So that was one area where I see a problem.
Let me interrupt real quick.
Yeah, sure.
When you guys come up with some of those KPIs, be sure to share them with us because I think this audience would be tremendously interested in that. You just named a few of them just now, but that's something we could do a whole new show on that one. That's a great point.
Yeah, I'd love to do a show on it. I feel very strongly about KPIs. As the old saying goes, if you can't measure, you can't manage, right? And it's true. I mean, it is a cliche in a way, but it's a true statement. Another area where we saw a disconnect is in the alignment of the transformation and the change management program. So 43% of the respondents said that their program, their change management effort is not aligned with the transformation project. That's basic project management, right? Project management 101. Those two things have to be linked in terms of time frame, in terms of what skills are needed, in terms of what organizational shifts are going to be made. And so there too, there's a problem in how these companies are managing their change. And another, just one more area where we see a difficulty is that very few of them, under a third, have a formal program or platform. And change management needs to be taken into account and handled in a methodical manner as a process with process steps and, again, the KPIs to evaluate it. So I think that's part of the disconnect. And the other part is there are big hurdles that companies face and that the CFOs and their teams face in enabling that transformation of people. And the three that came up as the biggest hurdles were the complexity of the organization, right? So you're dealing with all kinds of silos, technological silos, data silos, functional silos, and breaking the barriers and enabling everybody to move together towards a new goal is very difficult, especially for large companies, multiple business lines, global in nature. That's a massive effort and one that challenges a lot of our members. The other hurdle that came out as number two was resistance to change. And I mentioned that before. People don't necessarily want to change. And so getting over that is a difficulty. So we see a gap in the success of the programs. A lot of people are resisting the change. And that's exactly the objective of having a good change management program in mind.
That really starts with the hiring process.
That's a great point because it's two things. It's who you hire and the change in the finance talent profile. So when you're looking to hire, you want to find people who are not just good with numbers and know how to read the financial statement. You want people who are agile and are able to shift into different roles at different times. And so it changes, it should change how CFOs and their staff look at candidates for hiring. But it also greatly impacts the management of current staff, existing staff, upskilling, training, making sure that they feel safe, communication. So people are willing to change without being afraid they're going to lose their jobs or, I mean, some people will never move to that next level, but a lot of people can be brought along and that's good news.
Interesting that you mentioned that, you know, 60% of the survey participants have a budget, or more than 60%, I think, have a budget for change management, but less than a third or only a third have a program. So it's kind of interesting that they have a budget for it, but they don't know how they're going to use the budget. Can you talk to us about that a little more?
Having a budget, and I think you're right on the number, maybe 64% have a dedicated budget. The budget, first of all, is not huge, right? We saw in the survey, for those folks who have a budget, it's under 5% of the overall budget for the transformation. That is not necessarily surprising in that the cost of transformation often is to a large degree a technology adoption. So if you're doing an ERP implementation, a lot of the cost is in actually implementing the system. So the change management perhaps doesn't get enough attention. I think the budget, while there, if you are not clear on who is running the project, who's accountable, and what the project looks like, gets in the way of having a program or a platform. And sometimes it's not even owned by finance, although in most cases, it's jointly owned or owned by finance. So I think having that project planning place is kind of the first step, and then you can allocate the budget. Getting the budget is great and a key success factor and a best practice. I was glad to see, pleased to see, that most of the respondents do have a budget and also have a dedicated resource, which is another critical aspect of making the process work. It was also in the 60s, I think 60% or more, that have a dedicated resource, somebody who's responsible, even if it's one person at the start, but really responsible for pushing change.
That's not necessarily the project manager. There's a dedicated person to change management, a dedicated resource. And is it important? You talked about having a project plan. Are you finding that it's important, not so much in the change management, that you've mentioned that already, but does a project to be successful need a project lead, a person who runs the project? Did you find that important? And maybe it's off topic a little bit, but curious.
In talking to our FP&A members and serving them ahead of meetings coming up, we ask them, what do you have as part of your scope of work? Obviously, the basic regular stuff, budgeting, planning, sometimes consolidation, forecasting, they all have that, strategic planning. But a lot of them also have reporting into them a transformation leader. And that particular person has to look at and across the functions, not just within FP&A, because FP&A is in such a critical role. And the best place to have that transformation resource, because it cuts across not just multiple areas in finance, but also the business. And so their broad point of view feeds right into their ability to consider how to transform. And the people in that role typically have both a finance knowledge as well as a good understanding of technology. Because the role of finance right now, as we both know, is changing, the role of the CFO, moving towards a real strategic focus. And you can get there if you don't eliminate or reduce at least the amount of manual work, so you can free up people to think strategically, to add value to the company, work with the business. And so reducing that manual work, and that's why automation is such a key part of the transformation process. So we see those resources often sitting within FP&A, sometimes one person, sometimes a team, depending on the size of the company. I think that's why we see that happening within finance more frequently.
You know, it's interesting that you just brought up, a lot of times, I even refer to it as a finance transformation, but the finance transformation impacts the whole business. So maybe transformation is a better word, but I frequently use finance transformation for what's going on in the CFO suite, but it really impacts every part of the business. And that whole idea that having a transformation expert who can look at the impacts all across the business is really, I think a term you used in a previous interview we did was a holistic way to look at it. And I think that's a great point on, you know, how we refer to it. So if you call it a finance transformation, think it's in the finance team. That's all. And it's really much broader than that. A real transformation has got a much bigger impact than just on the finance team. Great point.
It's interesting you mentioned that transformation may be an overused term, whether we say digital transformation, finance transformation, or just transformation. In one of the companies we work with, General Mills, they don't call the process transformation. They came up, and their CFO mainly came up with a new term that they call capability building. So their office of transformation is called the Office of Capability Building. It really speaks to their belief that it's a lot about people and building the organizational capability from point A to point B. And also important to know from their perspective and others that this is a never-ending process, right? It's not like you're moving just from A to B, because there's C and D and transformation in the world we're in with the change that's happening is really an ongoing process. And so change management needs to be an always on capability.
I love the idea of capability building. That's a great term. And the concept that it's infinite, right? And that's hard to grasp sometimes because people want a finality of things. So that's part of that whole change management. How do you make people excited to be looking for the next thing, rather than saying, oh, I'm really comfortable with where we're at. We got to this end point, and it's really a journey with no final destination. And that's a hard thing for people to conceive sometimes, because we want to know we're done. And that's maybe one of the hardest hurdles to get over, is that mindset that we're going to be done with this. You're not going to be done with it. It's going to continue.
Never.
It's exciting. It's exciting evolution, but it's hard to put it that way, I think, have those benchmarks. You know, you had talked to me earlier about the importance of the relationship between the human resource department and the finance department. So we touched on it when it came to recruiting and that kind of thing. But is there other aspects about that relationship that the CFO should be completely aware of and make sure they're nurturing that human resource relationship with their team?
Absolutely. One of the survey questions was how important is that collaboration with HR? Because in almost half the cases, the change management program is jointly owned with HR. So it requires this real partnership between the finance leadership and HR leadership. So everybody's on the same page. And so that relationship needs to be very solid. One of the problems we see when it's not, and some of the issues when we ask companies that said we're not effectively connected with our HR team, and it's not working, because in most of the cases, people kind of ranked it 3 out of 5 in terms of how good that relationship is. One of the reasons is that HR is responsible for transformation on an enterprise basis, right? Transformation of finance is just one aspect. And they usually move forward with plans like upskilling and training and other support mechanisms that are broad in nature without a full understanding of what's really required in the finance organization. And so there are not enough finance-specific courses and training. And that's something that's hard to build if you don't have that really collaborative and understanding relationship between the two functions.
In my career, what I would identify as strong human resources, they've been the most successful business units in the companies I've been in. And an example of when I first started my career was with a company not too far from General Mills headquarters called Cargill. We had a group of human resource leaders that were exceptional, and they made people better. They made the business better. And that transformation piece, that's where they made people comfortable. They made people understand that by getting better, by knowing more skills, by improving, by changing, that was better. And I think that relationship is, I'm glad you hit on that because I think it's really important. You know, let's think about, as we kind of close the conversation, if you kind of wrap it up, you know, there's these hidden costs to not transforming or at least not managing change, right? But tell us more about what CFOs, what actions they should be taking. Kind of wrap it up in a bow for us, if you would.
The hidden cost of not transforming effectively is falling behind as an organization, as a business, right? Because everybody's moving forward, some companies faster than others, and those companies are going to do much better going forward. So I think the biggest hidden cost, which is hard to measure, is the cost of not doing as well as a business. Because you're not agile, because you're not technology enabled, and because your people are not willing to make the necessary changes required in a new world. And so I think that's an area CFOs should be very concerned and focused on, given their role as drivers of value and results for financial results for the entire enterprise. Where they can help that along is, first of all, be fully engaged. And many are, but not everyone. That we need the CFO to be working with FP&A and with the CHRO to make sure there's great focus on this process. And of course, allocate the budget. They're the ones who allocate the budget, to have dedicated budget, to have a dedicated resource. So for a CFO embarking on a finance capability building journey, it's super critical that they are given the process their top support. Without that support, it's hard for, let's say, an FP&A executive to affect change, because in some areas they only have influence, not direct relationship or a reporting relationship. So building that strength of influence is very important. Another area where CFOs can help the process or do better is in making sure that talent development becomes also a very big focus for the finance organization. We said earlier that profile is rapidly changing, just as finance is changing. And so putting an emphasis on allowing staff, new and existing, to focus on the value by transforming the way the finance organization or the business model for the finance organization breaking down barriers, so better collaboration between finance and FP&A and treasury, FP&A and accounting, accounting and treasury, investor relations. In fact, in some cases, FP&A is responsible for investor relations. In other cases, it's treasury. And so within finance, you got to dismantle some of these barriers so everyone can work together in a very simple performance-driving way. We see a lot of crossover between treasury and FP&A in the area of effective cash forecasting, right? And you got to have that and building a cash culture for the organization. So bring those functions, inspire that collaboration, I think is a very important role for the CFO to play.
Well, that is a fantastic recap of kind of all the work that you did on the research and kind of the empirical evidence you're getting to. So Neely, really want to thank you for sharing that with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Always happy to share.
Well, that wraps our CFO talk. And again, very happy to have Neely with us sharing kind of the knowledge from her research in this area. CFO.University is a community of business leaders, companies, and trusted advisors committed to the professional development of chief financial officers. You can learn more about us at CFO.University. That ends it for today. Until next time, engage, learn, and grow. That wraps up today's CFO Talk.